Hey, good morning, church. Good morning, church. Good morning. Isn't it just a gorgeous weekend? Oh, my gosh. Hey, please stand with us. Let's get this room warmed up. I am free. We've got Senior Recognition Sunday, so you'll see a lot of our wonderful young people helping out with the service, including singing with us this morning. So we'd ask that you clap your hands, sing with us throughout the rest of this morning, and we're going to make sure that Jesus and God fills this room with our energy today.
Through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you our hearts will praise, through you the darkness flees, through you my heart strings that I am free.
All right, sing it if you're free. So much. Please have a seat for just a moment.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Senior Sunday here at Asbury UMC. My name is Linnea Wall, and I'm a graduating senior. We're glad you're here. We'd like to extend a special welcome to all of our visitors and invite all in attendance, both members and visitors, to register their attendance on the pads that have been provided. And we have a couple announcements that we'd like to share. Saturday, May 14th, will be Asbury Change the World Day. This will be a day of mission for our church. There will be sign-ups next week here in the Wilson Activity Center for you to volunteer for the 14th. Teenagers will be Tuesday, May 3rd at 12 p.m. in the warehouse. The cost is $7. And thank you for your patience as we're working on replacing our projectors. We will be upgrading both of them and they should be in within the next couple of weeks. If you need to move to better see the screen, please feel free. And now I'd like to invite you to extend a welcome and greet those around you.
All right, good morning.
Good morning, Amy.
Okay, we are going to begin our senior recognition right now. We have a slideshow that we're going to show. And like we said, if you can look at this projector, also there's one in the back if you can't see this one over here. But we are excited to honor our seniors this morning, and I invite you to direct your attention to the screen.
I got waves that are tossing me, crashing all over my beliefs, and in all sincerity, Lord, I want to be yours. So pull me out of this mess I'm in, cause I know I'm wandering. Leave my soul back home again, I've always been yours. And this world may push, may pull, but your love never fails. You lead, I'll follow. Your hands hold my tomorrow. Your grip, your grace, you know the way you guide me tenderly. As a girl, I made my choice. There is no other way for me. I'm devoted to you. You're my peace on the heavy days. You're the warmth of an autumn blaze. Your love carries me away, and it's never too soon. No. And this world may push, may pull, but your mercy never fails. You lead, I'll follow. Your hands hold my tomorrow. Your grip, your grace, you know the way you got me tenderly. Yeah, when you lead, I'll follow. Just like the way you know go. Cause I know what you got for me. It's more than I can see. So lead me on. I got waves that are tossing me.
All right, so now I'm going to ask the graduates to come up. Our first graduate is Robert Ader, and he is graduating from Pulaski Academy. Our next graduate is Olivia Moffitt, who's also graduating from Pulaski Academy. And our final graduate is Linnea Wall, who's graduating from Central High. Okay, and now I ask you guys to join us in this celebration liturgy. God of truth and knowledge, by your wisdom we are taught the way and the truth. Bless our graduates as they now finish this course of study. Thank you for those who taught and worked beside them, and all who supported them along the way. Walk with the graduates as they move forward in life. Take away their anxiety and confusion of purpose. Strengthen their many talents and skills. Instill in them a confidence in the future you plan, where energies may be gathered up and used for the good of all people. For the graduates, this is truly a day of new beginnings, a time to remember and move on, and a time to believe what love is bringing. May they always know that Christ is alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new. Thank you.
Lord, prepare me, sanctuary.
One, two, three, give it up.
right, please stand up with us this morning. Congratulations, graduates. A lot of folks in here that are proud of y'all.
Lord, prepare me to be sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
Lord, prepare me.
Your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. For the glory of the risen King.
right, please have a seat.
All right, so have any of you ever been at school and the teacher might ask you a question that you don't really know the answer to? Yeah, that kind of stinks. Or have you had a spelling test but you didn't really study for it? Maybe you were playing outside the whole day instead of using your time to study. Well, teachers spend lots of times teaching you new words and new facts all week just to get you ready for that test. They teach you so you can do well on that test. God does the same thing. He wants you to do well at life. He wants you to be ready for the test, but his tests don't use pencils and paper. God's tests are chances to show Jesus' love to those around you. God teaches us how to love in his true word, the Bible. We learn by reading and studying his Bible, coming to church and Sunday school, and by praying and asking him to speak to us. The test is when we get the chance to show love and kindness to others and by telling them about Jesus, who wants to be their Lord and Savior. God gives us chances every single day to tell others about Jesus with our words and with our actions. Whatever it is that God calls you to do, you need to be able to answer. So let's pray. So bow your heads and repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, help me to study and know your word in the Bible. Help me to see the people around me and help them. Give me the chance to be kind and help me to know how to tell other people about Jesus' love for them. Amen.
You know, before we open up in prayer, I just want to lift up our hearts to the people printed in our bulletin today. Some names that are not on there: Reverend Trace Green, recovering from surgery, and Miss Ann Pierce for the loss of her father. Now, if you would, bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, may your grace and peace be ours in abundance this morning as we celebrate the lives and the accomplishments of the graduating class of 2016. This is the occasion to praise you, to listen to your word, to hear the stories of us students, and to pray for us as we finish the year and begin new adventures. As the people of God has always done, we bring our emotions and our wishes to the Almighty Creator who made us and loves us. We ask all these things by saying the prayer that you taught us long ago. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. A quick reminder, if you're interested in Stone Soup today, meet at the church at 1:30 and to go to the Quapaw Center downtown. If you would bow your heads again, please. Lord, thank you for nurturing our life and sustaining our faith. In gratitude, we want to help others to know your love. Open our ears to listen to your voice. Open our eyes to see our brothers and sisters in need. May our tithes and offerings today give voice to Christ's love for all people. Amen.
keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine.
Amen. Praise God.
If you felt blessed today like I have, let the people of God say,
amen.
Wow. Senior Sunday. You all did a super job. Thank you for leading us today. We may not let you go. I offer to you today the Word of God from the people of God. And as I was preparing for this series, I didn't really look that closely at my calendar. But I was visiting with Amy, and I said, today I'm doing the precious preparations portion of the series. And it's very interesting to me that it would fall right here on Senior Sunday when we think about the precious preparations that God has given our young people. So I share with you the reading of the 23rd Psalm, and as I did last Sunday, I invite you to just say it with me, and I'm going to go through the fifth verse, which is what we're going to highlight today, the fifth verse of the 23rd Psalm, and I'm going to lead it with the King James Version, which you all probably know the most and have heard all of your lives. So join with me if you'd like to as we hear one another and read this 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. And next week we'll conclude the psalm. But this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to
God. So as I was saying, on this Senior Sunday, we think about how the Good Shepherd prepares our lives, so that daily we have what we need to fulfill our purpose, to do His will. And as I look around, I see the church family of these three young people. I see the parents. I see the friends. I see the Sunday school teachers. I see the leaders of the church and a pastor. And we have invested in you. We've invested our love, our prayers, our deepest hopes, and our knowledge that you are going to have a great and wonderful and blessed spiritual life. Amen?
Amen.
So the past several Sundays, we've explored this psalm. And on the first Sunday, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We looked at the idea that life is a gift, and as it is a gift, we have a journey. And the idea that we came across from that first verse was that in this life it makes little sense to make the trip if you're not going to enjoy the journey. You and I were created to live in joy. And yes, there's bumps, and yes, there's tragedies, and yes, there's things that just are excruciating to know about or to experience personally. But when we have the joy of our Lord, we can do anything. And last week, we looked at that portion of the psalm that takes us through the shadows and the valleys, that leads us to dark spaces and places where we don't want to go. And we discover that there is a key word That's so important that, you know, we're so familiar with the psalm that sometimes we overlook it. And that key word is through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You see, through means that there's something on the other side. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God is with us now. God is with us in the valley. God is with us through to the other side, to the mountaintop. Amen. God is good. But today we focus on this place in the psalm where great preparations have taken place for the sheep as they are about to graze. As we think about this portion of the psalm, remember that before the sheep approach the place where they're going to graze, the shepherd has gone out ahead of them. Now, these grazing places are called tablelands. And the tablelands are very prime spots for taking livestock to graze. Now, in the ranges of Palestine, they have several of these places, but we also have noted that there are tablelands in Western Europe and Southern United States. And in fact, in those areas of the world, they're called mesas, M-E-S-A-S, which means table in Spanish. So the shepherd goes out ahead of bringing the sheep for a couple of reasons. He goes with minerals and salts in a pouch, if you will, to prepare and spread out over the tableland. And he does that so there will be greater appeal to the sheep to actually stay in that place, which is of the prime grazing. He does a few other things too. He scouts out where would be the best places to bed the sheep down for camp. He looks around to see if there's poisonous weeds, and he will do what he can to eradicate those weeds, or at least know there's more than he can take care of, and to make sure the sheep avoid that area altogether. Now, no doubt, as this psalm was written by David, he had experienced all of these things as a shepherd to prepare the sheep for their grazing. Yet David is not writing this psalm as the shepherd. He is not writing it from that perspective. No, he is writing it as one of the sheep, as one of the flock, who is very grateful to God, the great shepherd, providing for him. So as you read this psalm, it's so full of images, and you just cannot help but as you read it, realize how good God is to each and every one of us. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, each and every one to his own direction, his own way. And the Lord has laid on himself the iniquity or sin of us all." The good shepherd, can you see Christ carrying the lamb across his shoulders? And as I have that image, and you've seen the picture of the shepherd carrying the sheep like this around his shoulders, I hear that verse in my ear. "Come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We get so caught up in our business, I don't think we remember enough how much Jesus loves us. Our young people, as I mentioned earlier, look around you. You've been together as a group for a while. You've come to trust and learn and respect and know one another pretty well. And this is the church family who has watched you grow from here on up. I'm sorry, Robert, you've been that tall ever since I've known you. I haven't had the privilege of watching you all grow from, say, the size of my own granddaughter. But they have. And they've loved you and watched you and been excited for you, probably been concerned for you, been very proud of you. And you have that you're going to take with you. You have that love. You have that knowledge that just because you're leaving, the prayers won't stop. The support won't stop. Please carry that with you. As we think about going off and leaving this particular support, it'd be our prayer that you'll find a church in the town where you're going to be going to school, and that even though you may not feel like you do here at your home church, there will be Christian people there who will be praying for college students in their town, and they'll be praying for you and loving you. But as I think about this psalm of the Good Shepherd, my deepest prayer will be that you will go to the Lord as your shepherd daily and allow him to keep you on that right path when mom and dad are not there to tell you to do so, but Christ is. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its seasoning or saltness, then it is of no value. And it might as well be thrown upon the ground and be trodden by men." And as you go to college, I'm hoping that you keep your seasoning, your saltness, and that you don't allow the temptations that'll happen to break down your taste, that you will keep from being bland, that you'll be the one that season people around you with your spirituality and your love of Christ. As a shepherd prepares the table by seasoning it for the sheep, that they will long and want to stay right there in that particular spot to graze, the shepherd realizes that he is preparing a safe and lush banquet for the sheep. As we think about our own lives, that's what God has given us in this life. He has given us a mind, a heart, a soul, and a body to do our very best to stay focused on Christ, that we too can enjoy this banquet of life and not allow other things to take away our seasoning, our desire for being close by to the shepherd. Yet we, like sheep, sometimes wander off. We yearn to experience the unknown. Why is that in our human nature that we are not satisfied with the familiar, but we always want to dabble in that which we may very well know is not the wisest plan? There are consequences to choices and even thoughts. You can get so focused and think about something and begin to have just that urge to have that thing, to do that activity, that you don't even stop to think about the consequences of your choices or your thoughts. I can't help but believe that issues that come out with drugs and adultery and crime and all the other things in life that we do not want to experience, I can't help but believe that somehow they go back to that one thought, that won't hurt me. I'll just do that once. There's a magnetic appeal, and we don't realize that once may call in our minds yet another and another, and we are lost. We're so loved by God. I can't say it enough. And so when we think about our lives and our daily choices and our daily conversations and our daily actions, it seems like there are times when before we know it, we've hurt somebody. Or we look around and we look ourselves in the mirror and we realize we've hurt ourselves. But what we don't realize is that when we are hurting others or hurting ourselves, we're hurting God the most. Because God just wants what's best for us. So God, like the shepherd, is trying his greatest to protect us. The Ten Commandments are not rules to restrict you. The Ten Commandments are rules that have been put in place to protect you, to give us guidance. There are 10 different ways of saying, I love you, from God. Won't you show me that you love me back by obeying them? And so we think about how much God loves us, and like the good shepherd, does want to protect us from harm. And I read from Luke, the 22nd chapter, the 31st verse, that Jesus explained it this way to Peter. There are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. But Simon Peter, behold, Satan has demanded to have you, to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, then you must strengthen your brethren. And strengthen the brethren, Peter did. For we know that Christ prayed. We know that Peter denied Christ. And we know that Christ came again and spoke to Peter and restored him, not once, not twice, but all three times, counteracting those denials that Peter had made for Christ. Peter, do you love me? Tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. And Christ came back behind closed doors where those disciples were so frightened because they thought, well, we're next to be crucified. And Christ just burst forth with his Holy Spirit. And he poured out that Holy Spirit. And Peter preached like no one had ever preached before or since. And 3,000 people were saved right there in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, where they had crucified Christ. Yes. Satan demanded Peter, but Peter came back stronger than ever because he was with Jesus. The vigilant watch continues over you and me. Thank you, Lord, that when I have let you down, you have not abandoned me. Thank you, Lord, when I lost all faith in myself, you didn't let me down. You were right there with me. You picked me up and made me stronger than ever. That's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of shepherd who's looking out over you. And you all remember that when you're away, won't you? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Who are your enemies? You got some. Do they catch you off guard? Are they relentless, coming after you, coming after you, coming after you? You know, enemies come in all forms. There are enemies who are quite self-absorbed. There's other enemies who are all puffed up with pride. competitive to the point of just not being healthy at all. And then there's the attack of the enemy. And you know, the enemy knows the greatest strategic plan, their greatest weapon, is the surprise attack. But what the enemy doesn't know, that you and I know, is that we have a greater power than any enemy can ever have, and that's the power of the living Lord, who triumphed over the grave, resurrected, appeared time and time and time and time and time over a 38-day period, continues to appear to me and to you through the Holy Spirit speaking to us, changing our course when we were headed this way, heads us this way. The enemy's powerless over that kind of power. Listen to David. He's saying to you and to me in this psalm, look. Look at what my shepherd, my Lord, did for me. He made a banquet in my honor. My honor. And the enemies, they weren't warned and they weren't invited. My Lord is the host over this banquet. And he's invited me to be his guest. Thou anointest my head with oil. One of the greatest enemies of the sheep is the parasites. I mean, we know that there's beasts and such out in the fields. They have to be taken away, have to be avoided. But one of the greatest enemies of the sheep is the parasites. Years ago, I served a church in what has to be called the mosquito capital of the world. I knew I was in trouble when we drove up on moving day in the moving van, and I looked up. There's something I'd never seen before. There was a ceiling fan right there at the back door. I thought, what is that for? You know what that's for? To get the mosquitoes away so they don't go into your house. Then the second thing that happened right away were members were there to greet us and had, you know, things of food for us and helping us move boxes in and that kind of thing. But this one member came right up to me with a baggie, a little gift bag, and said, here, you're going to need this. I opened it up, and it was a can of spray. And it simply had the word on there, purge. Well, I found out purge was about to be my very best friend for the next 4 years. It is just basically this mist that smells like chrysanthemums. You're all going to go right now, right after church, and go get you some chrysanthemums. They don't like them. Mosquitoes don't like them. And I'm telling you, I was so glad because they really loved me and Kara, something about our body chemistry. And they had a nose on them like a hypodermic needle. I kept lots of purge. Asked for it for Christmas gifts. Well, for sheep, yes, the parasites of mosquitoes and gnats, yeah. But there's one that's even greater as a parasite, the dreaded nose fly. Now, I won't go into a big lesson on the nose fly, except to say that this winged enemy's attack is so gruesome upon the sheep that they will actually do whatever they can to try to take themselves out of their own agony, even if that means killing one another. One of the ways a good shepherd then will take care of the sheep is to obviously do a preventative, a preparation of linseed oil, sulfur, that kind of mixture, and give generously upon the nose of the sheep. But this line, thou anointest my head with oil, you see, is not preventative. That's after the damage was done and they're wounded and the shepherd has laid some oil as a balm for a healing measure. In Luke 11:13, Christ, our shepherd, urges us to ask into our lives the healing balm of the Holy Spirit, no matter what we are going through. So that when people may bug us to the point of causing us agony, we will go to the Holy Spirit to counteract the pestilence. Hear what Luke 11:13 says. If you then who are sinners and of evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I can remember being in college and just kind of casually forming a small group before small groups were the thing. And it was just, I think we called it James Annex group. And we get together around 5:30 or 6 after classes were over and after maybe after school jobs had been done or whatever like that. And we would just bring our Bibles and talk about maybe what had happened during the day or have a prayer request that we'd lift up. And you know, that became such an important part of our daily life. And that if we missed it, we would maybe just put a note on the door, had to go study at the library for a test, but would you all lift me up tonight about this or that? Or this scripture came to me and I just wanted to share it with you all, and I would have if I'd been there. It became a very important part of our day. And I realized that sometimes when you go off to college, you find out right away who are your drama people. Y'all figured that out in high school, probably. Maybe grade school. And things happen in college, and sometimes just being away from home is a little bit more difficult to handle. And if you get upset or you get frustrated or you get nervous about something, I hope you'll pray. You may get angry with somebody. One thing I have found out is that you cannot be angry and pray at the same time. Have y'all ever tried to do that? Have you ever tried to pray when you're angry? First of all, we better not be angry with God, because God has a way of kind of letting us know He found that out and He loves us. But when you pray, it immediately calms you. When you pray, you're calmed. You feel His presence. You feel His grace. That's part of that process of precious preparations. The Lord's praying for us. We're praying to the Lord. It's a reciprocal relationship. It's not a one-way communication that we do whenever we're in trouble, whenever we need something. Prayer, to be its most fulfilling gift, is reciprocal. And the Lord does appreciate that. And it's a healing balm. God is so good. But we like sheep stray, each to his own way. And the Lord has laid the sin or iniquity upon him of us all. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Where is he leading you today? Where is the Lord leading you today? Where is he going to lead you tomorrow? And the day after that? And most importantly, will you follow his path of righteousness for his name's sake? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We'd invite our celebration band and singers to come forward. And as they do so, I would invite you to bow with me in prayer. following the moment of prayer, we'll rise up and we will sing our final song together. And I'm going to ask the seniors to meet me at the back after the benediction so you can say just a word of love to them. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you want what is best for us and you know what is best for us. And we pray, dear Lord, that as we have the path before us every day, and that path usually at some point has a fork in the road, we pray that we will follow the right path, that we will have the grit, courage, and determination, and most of all, commitment to Christ to follow that right path. So now, Lord, we ask your special blessings upon Olivia, Robert, Linnea, their families, and upon this church family, that together we will pray and lift them up every day, that they will experience Christ, and that we all will experience Christ. For we pray this in his holy name. Amen. Won't you stand and sing?
You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear your sound. Lord, I'm amazed.
little bit of this one more time. Close your eyes and sing this with us.
How
worship with you today. Be sure and greet one another and share the love of Christ to all. And I'm going to ask these seniors to come join me so you can say a word to them. May we go in the peace of Christ. Amen.